When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Welcome to the family with
Catherine.
Tevin,
shouldn't Tevin start?
No,
it'd be Tevin started. Okay, let me do it again.
We go like this.
Who's starting?
Tevin, and then Mom, and then me.
It's Martin Luther King Day. Let's let Tevin go first.
Okay, here we go. I have a dream that it's Tuesday and Tevin is... No, that's not it. Welcome to the family with
Tevin Pittman.
Happy Martin Luther King Day, Catherine Brandt.
Andy Brandt-Bernard.
And Mike Brandt.
And we'll be right back to kick off Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Real name. What's his real name? Because Martin Luther King was not his real name.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, that's exactly. You know what his real name is?
No, what was his real name?
Michael King.
Michael King. Michael, huh? Who would ever change their name from Michael?
Yeah, his father. His father's name was Michael King. His name was Michael King. And they his father saw... a speech by, God, who did he see a speech by? Martin he changed Luther. His name and his
Martin
son's
Luther.
Name to Martin.
Yeah,
yeah, Martin Luther. He bounced all the way back. I think it was somebody probably quoting Martin Luther. I
that
think
was a happy
was.
Dude, Martin Luther.
Oh, yeah, he was all fired up.
Yeah.
We will be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Special guest John O'Connor will join us. Americans today mistrust the major media more than ever. Gee, I wonder why. The scum of the earth, that might have something to do with it. We will be right back with the family. Michael Bryant, Bradshaw and Bryant.
It's Martin Luther King Day, and he was about justice. And he talked about people having the right to get into the courtrooms. And that's what we try to do, is give people the right to bring claims. We only get paid if we recover. You don't have to pay us at the beginning of a case. And that's what we try to do for people, is give them that right to get in the courtroom and be able to fight all sorts of different giants. For John Bryant.
Oh, he did his own tag and everything. I like that. Michael Bryant, Bradshaw Bryant.
Tommy, I never believed it until now, but apparently you're a pretty big deal.
Well, was there ever a question in your mind?
Well, you might say I was a doubting Thomas. See what I did there?
Yes, how incredibly clever. Anyway, what's your point?
Well, last month I was trying to find you a car to replace the Mafia Mobile and suggested leasing a Nissan Altima as it was impossible to find your first choice.
I love that Altima, and I'm actually looking forward to checking out the all-wheel drive as soon as it snows.
Well, apparently someone at Nissan was listening to us, and at this month, at Coon Rapids Nissan and Burnsville Nissan, we can offer short-term 18-month leases.
That's actually pretty smart. By then, the chip shortage will be over, right?
Man, I hope so. The only chip shortage I want to hear about is Bilski dumping one into the bunker. By the way, for the first time ever, Coon Rapids Nissan was number one in the state, and Burnsville was number two. Your Altima was actually one of the cars that put J-Lo on top.
To learn more about short-term leasing, stop into Burnsville Nissan or Coon Rapids Nissan. Yeah, baby, is all I know. Let me know when Mr. O'Connor's ready to go, Andy, if you would. So, Michael.
Yes.
Michael Bryant from Bradshaw and Bryant.
Yep.
We're looking at this whole... John's on today. He's going to talk a bit about, not exclusively, but he's going to talk about the FBI and all the rest of it. What is wrong with the FBI right now, Michael? Because you're in a situation where they said, no, this wasn't anti-Semitic. Really? A Muslim attacking a synagogue is not anti-Semitic, huh?
Well, okay. We have John O'Connor on. And John, tell us.
John, how are you?
Just great.
John, I don't understand. Americans today mistrust the major media more than ever. Postgate will prove that this distrust is richly deserved. John, I've never met you, I don't think, but I'd give you a big hug if I did. I'll tell you that. I am so sick of the major media, and I don't care if it's Fox or CNN or MSNBC or ABC, CBS, whatever. All they do is lie for money. What they do.
Aren't you glad we're not major media?
Yeah, you got that right. Honest to God. We're not even lame-o media.
That's a good point, because they do lie for money, and that's the problem. And it's a strange kind of money. They do want to keep their core audiences, and they've sort of have made the mistake of limiting themselves to those audiences. But once they've done that, now what are they going to do? Take a chance on dismembering that audience by being fair-minded? No. I think they could have done better if they had played both sides and tried to actually let the viewer or the audience decide what the truth is and present both sides. I'm not suggesting people ought to be, media ought to bend their stories to a conservative point of view, quite the contrary. But if you are conservative, and I say conservative, you're a traditional American, you believe in fair play, you believe in debate and the marketplace of ideas. And what the real problem with the media is, the major media is that they don't believe in that. That's an American principle since the Enlightenment. That's what the Enlightenment was based upon. You don't just take the Roman Catholic Church word on whether the earth is the center of the universe. You debate it.
I like that, John. Well, the guy named John O'Connor, you're rolling a dice, man. That's a very Catholic name, Pally.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I've got bishops and nuns throughout my lineage here, and I hopefully there's no direct descendants of them, I hope, but in any case, but that's right. And, you know, what we have today is we have a secular world that gets to be secularly religious, because so many people in the world do not believe in the Almighty and a higher power. And therefore, the tendency is to make up theories that justify what you're doing. For instance, so you might have something bigger than yourself. It might be climate change. It might be you name it. It might be some other belief. But that's what we get. We get a secularly religious group who do not tolerate dissenting ideas. All those people are labeled heretics. So if you believe one way, rather than just debating it the way John Stuart Mill would have us, the way the Founding Fathers would have it, there's no debate. You just call somebody a conspiracy theorist. So, for example, I'm just going to give you a wild example. Let's say that somebody says, the New York Post says, hey, there's this Hunter Biden computer, and here's what it says, and it looks like it's all legit. Oh, no. We can't allow that. That's heresy. So we bury it. Think about that. In one of the most important elections in the country's history, in a piece of evidence that was very, very important, and I think somewhere I've seen surveys, 9% to 14% of Biden voters would have reconsidered their vote had they known about this, but yet it was blacked out by the mainstream media. Think about that. This is the land of the free, and we're blocking things out. It's stunning to me.
I agree with you, and it's businesses, it's the Democratic Party, it's the Republican Party, it's all the news on any channel. It's really, well, look, let me give you an example of how upsetting this is for me. A man, Steve Harvey, the black man in America today, has two TV shows, maybe even three now, and he went on national television and said, I cannot do stand-up comedy anymore because they'll cancel me and ruin my career. I thought we were, like, working on coming together and living together all as one, and black, white, brown, red, whatever color. It just, here's a man, very wealthy guy, got a couple of great jobs. He is terrified they're going to ruin his life. That just drives me crazy, John. It really does.
Well, when you hear people on the left talking about coming together and let's all get together, they mean let's all get together as to their view of the world. Then everybody will be fine. But if you don't, then you're just a bad person. And so anyone who thinks contrarily is labeled bad, not just wrong, but bad. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem. That's the whole basis for this deplatforming stuff. And it is, like I say, it's the antithesis of what the country's supposed to be. I think on the masthead of the Washington Post, there's the profound utterance, democracy dies in darkness. I believe it does, and I believe that statement is correct. I just think it's ironic that the Post is publicizing it every day when they promote darkness, at least on one side of whatever question comes up. So that's the terrible thing. And like you say, it's this deplatforming, it's this bullying that is going on of anybody who has any kind of contrary thoughts, against the orthodoxy. I mean, this is what history has told us about authoritarian regimes or overly religious ones. Where the religious people are in power, not just religion, but people who have that in power, you tend to block any contrary thoughts. That's what Hitler did on the right. That's what Stalin did on the left. You kill people who disagree with you, or at least you put them in prison in Siberia or someplace. So that's what's going on now. It's a soft prison. It's not an actual prison. It's just you deplatform the guy and see you later, Steve Harvey.
You know, John, I grew up Catholic, nice little Catholic boy, and I'm very lucky. I didn't even realize it till today, but how lucky I was that I was either in, I think, fifth or sixth grade. I don't remember which one. I was at St. Joseph's School in North Minneapolis. I think fifth grade. I'm pretty sure it was fifth grade. Might have been sixth. But this little boy was asked in class, and the nun asked him. He didn't bring it up. The nun said, Billy, did I see you wandering around with the kids from the public school? And he said, yeah, they're my neighbors. And she said, you know, you shouldn't really be hanging out with them because they're Protestant and they won't be going to heaven, so you're wasting your time. I'm like, what?
Well, it's not a long-term investment, I guess.
I'm like, whoa, exactly. Man. So exactly. I guess what she did, John, is she gave me a heads up like, hey, listen, pal, about 60 years from now, the entire society is going to act like this, so you better get used to it now. It's disgusting,
well, John. Well, that's right. I wasn't taught that. I was just taught that those poor people, we used to call them publics because they went to the public school.
Right.
I just felt bad for them because they weren't getting into heaven, or they might get in, depending upon the theory, just to the lower spot. I'm going to be up there on the 20th floor. They're going to be down there in the basement. So my buddies that I played baseball with from the public school, I thought, you know, God, I feel sorry for these guys. You know, they're going to squeak their way in, maybe. You know,
but that's exactly what I'm saying.
You know, but anyway, it is too bad because that's the way. That's probably okay in a religious context, as long as St. Augustine says you keep that off in the city of God and don't let those ideas infiltrate into the city of man. But what we have now is we have the city of man, period, and we're in this religious type of thinking or authoritarian or ideological thinking is creeping in to the public sphere, and that's what's happening. People are getting just the way you were taught when you were younger. Oh, these people are terrible. They have the wrong ideas.
Right.
They're not getting into heaven. He's conservative. He's not getting into heaven. How terrible. So a friend of mine gave me an email the other day and said, I want you to answer my friend. I think you're smart, John. You can answer him. And then I looked at the email, and the email said, oh, I don't want you to send me any more of these articles about DeSantis. I can't read any article about DeSantis. Wait, I thought, this is supposed to be a liberal guy. He's not going to read anything about DeSantis because he's decided DeSantis is, of course, a terrible guy. Well, you know, maybe it's a good idea. I'm a lawyer, and when I litigate a case, I want to hear from the other side. I want to hear from the other side because I want to know, number one, whether my case has weaknesses, and I got to shore him up. And number two, I want to know what he's going to say so I can be ready to refute it. And maybe I won't be able to refute it. Maybe I ought to just say, I think we'll settle this. But basically, you should want to know what the other side is saying if you want the truth. Because I'm betting my clients' fortunes and their lives on being right. So I want to be right. Now, what happens is, though, is these people in the press, there's no vehicle whereby they go to trial and they get shown to be silly or stupid or wrong. They just say it, and it exists. So they say it because they want to say it. There's no mechanism whereby they are steered toward the truth and toward really looking at the other side and see if there's some valid points there so that you can incorporate them. And that's exactly the way the process is supposed to work. You know, like Hegel said, thesis, antithesis, synthesis. You're supposed to synthesize. And we don't have that. And when we don't have that, of course there's not going to be agreement. Because there's one side of the ledger. I say more than the left, more than right, is into ideology. I think the right has its problems, especially what we would, you know, but at least the right is more willing to debate and discuss. That's what I would say, and you don't just deplatform as much.
Well, in my experience, that is because whichever party is in power is going to become the ideologues. Right now, the left is in power. They've got the media. They've got the government. So, of course, they're just going to be ideologues, but it reminds me a lot of the religious right back in the 80s when they had all the power, they had all the cultural power, and they were, you know, do what I say or you're wrong. It just flipped because power corrupts no matter who you are.
Well, that's right.
What kind of lawyer are you?
I'm a litigation lawyer. I've been litigating for 50 years now.
In San Francisco,
San Francisco area, but I really go all over the country in my cases.
What kind of cases?
Everything, you name it. I've been a criminal prosecutor, criminal defense lawyer, civil lawyer. I work for the government in the SNL crisis. I've done everything, insurance cases, real estate, intellectual property. I've tried just about everything. About the only thing I wouldn't do, I mean, I've done a little domestic, but I'm not a domestic lawyer, and I'm not a tax expert or anything like that, but I've tried everything. So it's the litigation process that I like to be good at just trying to find out what the truth is, trying to cross-examine people who testify one way that you may think is wrong or right, and it tests them. And when you cross-examine somebody and they hold up, you say, wow, maybe this guy's got something. So I'm very respectful of the other side in all my litigation because they just may be right as to some or all of what they say. And that is the process that we should be going through. That's the one that John Stuart Mill told us about in 1835. That's the one we ought to go through. And if your theory turns out to be tested and right, gosh, you've done a good job by considering the other side. How about that? And if you test it and it's wrong, well, then it gives you a chance to be right and to change your theory. So I'm a great believer in the litigation system, and I actually think that if there were more people who thought like litigators and were out there critically testing things that were said, you would have a better public discussion. Unfortunately, we've got a lot of really wonderful lawyers in this country who are out there working for their clients but aren't in the public sphere, and we have people in the mainstream media who are into a completely different deal than I'm into.
No question. I mean, the problem we have that Michael Bryant, the man asking a question, is a lawyer, but he does law with disc jockeys, so, I mean, what does that tell you? I mean, people like me, John, it's that bad. Think about it.
That bad, huh? Oh,
geez. He goes, that bad, huh? The book is called Postgate, How the Washington Post Betrayed Deep Throat, Covered Up Watergate, and began today's partisan advocacy in journalism. I no matter if it's far left, far right, whatever it is, I would just maybe, is there any chance we can all move toward the center? One side's going to have to give up their religion. The other side's going to have to give up their former religion. It's like, would you just calm down, man? Here, let me ask you guys a question. This basically is for everybody, but mainly the two lawyers on the show. How do people not understand? And Michael Bryant and I have had this discussion before, just between the two of us. And I'll just throw me out there as a guy. Let's say that I'm the one that did something wrong and I need to be canceled, right? But the only problem that I have with the whole cancel part of it, now I'm not saying that I shouldn't be taken to task or educated or straightened out or whatever. What I'm saying is, if you go after me and try to ruin my life, you're ruining Catherine's life, my wife. My son Andrew's with us today. Alex is usually here. So you're ruining my wife, my son, my daughter, my grandchildren, me. Why don't they ever think about who else is in there getting hurt that shouldn't be getting hurt?
Why do you assume they care?
Yeah, they don't care.
Why? Mm-hmm. How do you not care about another human being and claim to be a human
being? We're in an age of moral superiority in meme form. And
well,
if
I mean,
you
look
don't
at the
believe
Crusades,
it, then they...
Look at the Inquisition. Look at Genghis Khan.
Know,
they didn't care. Humans have never cared.
And they should have known before they chose to either be born or...
Exactly.
Being
born was your mistake,
yeah,
pal.
They should have known.
Well, I mean, that's part of that. That right
this.
There would... Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, let me say this. I think they do care who they hurt, and they want to hurt them.
Well, yes, there's a lot of evil people out there, too. That's the thing.
I could not do that. I mean, I could hurt somebody. That's why I always like that toe-to-toe deal, and that's how I grew up. You get in the battle with somebody, stand toe-to-toe and slug it out. You take him out, he takes you out, and it's over. You don't go after his whole family and go... I'm gonna now that I beat you up and go over punch your wife right in the face. I mean, that's what it looks like today, doesn't it?
Well, it does. And if you look at regimes like, all over the world, the authoritarian regimes do take out your family.
Yes, they do.
They do.
That's one of the things.
Yeah.
It's not just you. And so we're doing that in America now. We're doing it more softly. We're doing it by smearing reputations and ruining business and so forth and so on.
It's very, very true. John, I need to take a break. We have you for another 10, 15 minutes?
Sure.
The book is called Postgate, How the Washington Post Betrayed Deep Throat, Covered Up Watergate, and Began Today's Partisan Advocacy Journalism. You can check it out on Amazon and just about everywhere. We'll be right back. More with John O'Connor right after this. And we are back with Stretch's picks.
You know, Tom, there's a lot of analysis that goes into these picks.
Yeah.
And I highly recommend betting, of course. I always recommend betting.
Yeah, absolutely. So who's winning this thing, the Kitties, the Pack, the Bears, or the Purple?
None of the above.
Those are all the teams in the division.
I know that.
Well, who's your pick?
I'm going with Sabre Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning.
What? It's not a football team.
I know, but it's a hell of an HVAC company. They do the most thorough system tune-up in the industry. Sabre is one of the largest Bryant dealers in the state, which means you save. Yep, I'm going with Sabre. Sabre and Bryant, doing whatever it takes to keep you comfortable.
It's also the smartest time to call and schedule your furnace tune-up with Sabre. Get the most thorough tune-up in the industry from the people who keep my home comfortable.
Oh, one more thing, Tom.
What's that?
Visit SabreHeating.com.
Tom here, and I'm talking with Brad Huckle and Mike Bilski of North American Banking Company. We've talked before about how working with a community bank like North American Banking Company can benefit business owners. Do you have an example you could share with our listener?
Our customers at Homeco Insulation in Blaine have been banking with a big bank for many years, but suddenly their calls weren't getting returned and their banker was unresponsive to their business needs.
You can imagine their frustration. They had a successful business, wanted to expand, and their bank cut them off.
They were ready to move on from their big bank. When they referred to us, we knew they wanted to work with a community bank that would be responsive and would take the time to understand their business and its needs.
That sounds like a perfect fit. I know it can always reach out and not only talk to an actual person, but I'm talking to an experienced lender.
They've told us the same thing, Tommy.
Look, I know Brad and Mike, and I trust them with my banking. My whole family does. So why not bank with my banker, North American Banking Company, a better banking experience, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Tom here to tell you that MyPillow is the best and getting better. MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell has an amazing offer on MyPillow towels, 100% USA cotton, originally $109.99, and now a flash sale for $39.99. For a limited time and 60-day money-back guarantee, head to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener specials. Promo code KQRS. Get this great offer and check out the deep discounts on other products. MyPillow.com, enter promo code KQRS. MyPillow.com, promo code KQRS. AQRS.
We are back,
yeah, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm actually on the phone with podcast.
Oh, I wish I'm on the effing phone. Thank you. Michael Bryant.
I'm on hold at the moment.
Michael.
What's that?
Michael Bryant.
Yeah, sorry, my headphones weren't on.
Oh, I think our guest just dropped.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, said he was on hold.
Why? No, that's
he said
Grant.
He was on hold.
That's Grant, I think.
Yes, that was me.
Oh, that was you.
Grant
is
also on the phone. I don't know why John dropped. I will try calling him again.
Well, you don't have to call him back because we only got him for 10 minutes anyway, so that's fine.
Oh, okay.
Plus, I think Michael Brown will have a heart attack if he comes.
You can feel the tension in the room.
No, I can. Honest to God, the whole interview I kept hearing. Settle down, Michael. You're going to choke to death for Christ's sake. But, you know, it's
both
sides.
You weren't on four, John, were you?
Me, no.
Oh, okay.
Well, no, I was Grant just kind of going to be piggybacking a little off of this conversation.
Okay.
All right. Grant, what's up?
Well, I heard some rather unnerving information that I figured maybe you guys could also look into.
Okay.
Just the fact of them talking about it makes me nervous, at least. I heard that there was a poll that 29% of Democrats think that unvaccinated parents should lose custody of their children for not being vaxxed.
That's a little extreme.
That scares me.
Yeah, I could see that. No,
then,
I mean, Grant, the amazing thing, Grant, before you continue, is that we were just talking about this on the morning show this morning. There were people running around, and I don't go on social media, I don't know if it's on there or not, but they were running around telling everybody, yeah, Bernard, he wasn't vaccinated, he wasn't boosted, no wonder he got COVID, now he's probably going to kill somebody with his gun. Well, I was vaccinated, I was boosted. Could you at least check your facts before you disparage someone across the universe on digital? Well,
people are stupid, and they live in a cartoon reality that
they think
if you're not on my side, then you stand for everything that I hate.
I've never felt that way. Never in my life have I felt. I mean, how the hell could I be friends with Michael Bryant and think that? Thank you very much. Great to be here, Michael.
I wonder whose poll that is, because there's been people
with unvaccinated
kids forever. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
there's a Rasmussen poll.
Parents without. It's an actual Rasmussen poll.
Yep.
Huh. Yes, sir.
Really?
Oh yeah, here it is.
Huh. Really?
Let's see.
Yeah, read the whole thing.
Read it, Andy, if you'd read it, that'd be great. Grant, thank you for calling this in. Andy's going to read it.
Unvaccinated people.
Well, I've got it. 29% of Dems. 29% of Dems support taking your kids if you refuse to take the vaccine. 59% of Dems support you being put on house arrest if you refuse the jab. 48% of Dems say you should be jailed if you question the vax. Online.
What, like, all that I heard is that whatever percentage.
That was the other one I wanted to mention was the 47-48% one.
Yeah.
47-48%
of America has lost their mind.
Yeah.
that's all I heard from that.
If you have a position that is based in truth, fact, and open information for everybody, you don't need to go jailing people.
No, you would
have such great reasons that people would see your side of the story.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Try to convince them. Be a good speaker.
I mean, maybe 20, maybe 10, 20% might just be like fringy, weird. They're not going to agree with anything you say just because that's just what they do. But that's a huge majority.
So I have a question for
John
everybody.
O'Connor just called back in, by the way.
Oh,
he did.
So he's on the phone right now.
Okay, so I have a question as we lead back into John O'Connor. And Grant, certainly stay with us if you have any questions for him, okay? That's up to you.
Will do.
Okay, well, my whole situation in this deal is, I don't know how I did this, and you know, Michael Bryan can tell you this, Catherine can tell you this, my kids and all the rest of it. About half my friends are Democrats. The other half of my friends are Republicans. And of those people, I would say about 10 to 15% of the left and 10 to 15% of the right are pretty severe in their views. How is it that I can get along with people that go from way to the left, way to the right, and I can get along with them? It's not that I'm some supreme being, for Christ's sake. It's not that hard.
Well, you don't get along with everybody.
Well, I don't get along with everybody, but I get along with my friends that have a lot different views than I do about things, and I don't care. As long as they've got character and care about one another and wouldn't go after somebody to try to ruin their life, then I can be their friend. You try to ruin somebody, I want nothing to do with you. That's all there is to it. Right?
I think that has something to do with it, because your friends are all decent people. And you make sure that
they
way.
Are. You are correct, sir. That's
you don't
exactly.
Know
and they
friends.
Are. Wait a minute. What was that, Brian?
That is true.
What'd you say? I didn't hear.
I said you don't know his friends to say they're all decent people.
Yeah, you'd be one of you and Doug Sprinthal, horrible human being.
I'm just reading this poll. This thing's crazy.
Yeah, well, 70%
of Republicans. 17% of Republicans are also believing people should be in jail. Yep. That's crazy.
Why?
Yeah, just because they won't somebody get just vaccinated. Dropped off again. That's nuts.
Yeah, and if you're gonna take somebody's, if you're gonna take somebody's kids, like, what are you just putting them in the system as some who's now taking responsibility?
That more black voters than white voters support getting vaccinated.
I think that's wrong.
Hispanics and other minorities are this. I don't. Where did they?
Well,
find
they support
the
vaccine mandate.
Oh boy.
So you know, people are going to support a mandate if it doesn't affect them.
Well, Michael, it's what we're talking about. Media lies. That's
Biden's
what, you know how happy I am.
Supporters are more likely to endorse the harsher punishments. I know him. I don't know that anybody's a stronger supporter of his, and I don't support it. So I'm out of that group.
Who, a strong nuts. Supporter of who?
So Biden, I love Joe.
Well, but that's a personal thing. That's not a president thing.
No, I still love the guy.
I think John's phone is having issues because I can't get him to connect.
But I don't have it. I don't want harsher punishment for people with vaccinations. I'm gonna say Todd would be in jail. You know, or 2/3.
You just want harsher punishment for me. That's what you want.
No, I don't.
No, I don't.
That's quite the pull. That's crazy.
This is what we're talking about, how insane people are getting. It's
sure
like, would
have.
You calm down?
Well, you missed the best part of the poll. So what does governments requiring you to temporarily live in a designated facility sound like to you?
China?
Prison.
That's what Australia's did. Yeah. They built a bunch of like trailer houses and they made people go sit in them.
They nailed people in their apartments in China, didn't they?
Right. And then they wonder why people are all out here getting like fake vaccination cards and all these other things.
Right.
That's not helping any.
Okay,
anything.
I think maybe we have John back.
John, we keep fighting. Did we get you back?
His phone is messed up.
That's
too bad.
I will guess, have Cassie text him and tell him that his phone is broken because we have
thanks.
No way
so,
of communicating that with him.
In France, many restaurants and bars are changing their status to a private club. Then they don't have to ask customers for a COVID passport.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
New customers become a member in less than a minute and for free.
Can we just live our lives?
That is weird. I was talking to the guy at the restaurant we were at on Saturday night about that. The whole idea of turning your own customers away. You know, somebody wants to come in and then they're like, no, sorry, you can't come in here. That's
especially
hard.
When there's already less people going out because of COVID and now you have to turn away the ones that actually do want to come out.
Come out and eat. That's
I know. It's a tough road to hoe.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying, man. That's why, like I said, I like my family and a few friends, and the rest of you can all just kiss my living ass. I'm sick to death of people trying to ruin each other and not caring about it. That does really bother me.
I don't feel the coming together vibe from you, Tom.
Come together right now, damn it.
Or go to jail.
Go live in a closet or wherever they put you. I just, seriously, it's wearing me out. It really is. People that I've known forever won't even talk to me anymore since I got into radio. Mm. I heard your radio show. I can't.
They listen every day.
They probably listen every day.
The ones who are like, I hate you, but they like know everything that's going on.
There will be some anti-Tom Bernard group there where they all listen to the show so they have something to
say. So 2/3 of likely voters are against government using digital devices to track the unvaccinated. Well, that's kind of a cell phone, but...
It's kind of a cell phone, exactly. But how would you know if somebody's vaccinated or not on a cell phone?
Yeah, well, that's
true. They probably do know.
Well, look at your messages you're sending, I guess. I don't know. Like I said, I'm of the mind, and I could have gone without the vaccination, but I didn't mind going with it. I could have gone without the booster, but I didn't mind going with it either. I don't care about stuff like that.
Yeah.
I knew it wasn't going to kill me, so what do I care? As long as it's not going to kill me, I'm fine.
Yep, that's the idea.
I guess. I don't know, but if you don't...
The sweet release of death. No.
The sweet release of death. You're absolutely right. Yeah. Oh, God.
I wanted to hear more about the Watergate book.
Postgate?
Yeah, I wanted to hear because it sounds like an interesting book.
Yeah, apparently it's the Post did not uncover Watergate as much as it covered it up, is what it alleges.
Then it talks about how it betrayed Deep Throat, which would be interesting to find out what that's about.
Well, we could rebook them for next Monday or something if you want. We can try that out. Yeah, if he gets a better phone, exactly.
Cell phones are the worst, and I wish people would stop using them for interviews. They're not good.
Well, yeah, people don't have regular phones anymore.
No, I'm not talking about landlines. I'm talking about, like, you know, use StreamYard or use Skype or literally anything except a cell phone. Use Telegram. Well, it would be more reliable.
Why don't we, I'll ask Cassie to start making that known to people that call in.
Not a bad idea, actually. The whole idea, that's not a bad idea at all. Just get everything worked out the best we can and slog ahead. Forge ahead, as they say, right?
Absolutely.
I don't know. I just look at all this stuff and I just, when did people get so insane with this? You know, the only insane people I knew when I was a kid were like nuns and people like that. Right?
We're nuns?
Nuns.
What? Nuns.
Well, they were the ones that kept saying that you're not going to get into heaven unless you're Catholic.
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah. They said more than that, too. But
well, yes, they did. Yeah. You are correct. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just don't get it. People just... Now, I have a question, because I think it's exploded, but maybe I just missed it. I wasn't paying attention. Lying is so in vogue right now. People go out of their way to lie now. And not just that they lie or make up little fibs to cover their back or whatever. People go out of their way to lie as deeply as they can. What is the attraction of lying to people? I don't get it. It
doesn't make any sense, yeah.
No, it makes no sense.
When lies are easy to uncover, when they're things, mm-hmm. it's like, yeah, that's not
exactly.
Very hard to know the difference between the reality, but... I don't know.
It's a form of power. God, if I can make you believe what I say, then I have power over you. And if you lie, even if you retract it later, a certain percent of the people are still going to believe that lie. They're never going to see the retraction, or they're not going to believe the retraction. So
you still have
a bunch of people under your control.
Yeah, they've proven that on social media, that the first tweet that they see on topic, that's what they think.
Oh,
it doesn't matter if it's disproven in 15 minutes. They're not going to look for it anymore. They're just going to go, oh, my God, did you see what happened? And then they just start going on, and the hysteria is what keeps them happy.
Page one lie, page 20 retraction.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, one more try. John just called in. It sounds like maybe it works this time. Okay.
There
John! Yeah, it worked, man. I'm glad you were able
Not
to come
that.
Back.
I walked about 100 yards, and I got a better signal on
there
in
you
the
go.
Part of Marin County, so I apologize. I had a fine signal, and then all of a sudden it went away, so I just took off to try to there, and I
Well, it worked out in the end. We were just talking since you jumped off there a bit ago, John. We're talking about the fact that I can't do the things that these people do. And it's not that I'm some supreme human being or wonderful or whatever. I just can't do it. I swear to God, if I started lying to try to harm someone, my mother would be spinning over in her grave and she'd show up in my dreams. I guarantee it. I couldn't do it. I could not destroy someone by lying about them. I couldn't do it.
Well, there's a higher duty, and I don't think there is either, because I think you have to play according to the rules, and that's what you do. But if you think there's a higher duty in certain regimes, then that's what you do, and you put all the lying. Think about what went into this Russiagate thing that took us for 3 years. I mean, there are people there that lied. Now, there are a lot of really people in good faith believe the whole thing.
Yeah. We didn't lose John again, did we?
It's kind of iffy.
Oh, no.
Oh, good, you are there.
Dropping in and out.
Yeah, it's going in and out.
I'm sorry, I can hear you, but you guys can't hear me.
No, we can hear you now, John. Like I said, it happens quite often, John. I wouldn't even worry about it. But Michael wanted to talk to you a little bit about Postgate. He said he wanted to hear more about your book, Michael Bryant, the attorney that was talking
to
you earlier.
That looks interesting. How's that book doing?
Well, it's doing fine. The Post has tried to deplatform me, so, and I know that there are a lot of mainstream media that will not talk about it because I disprove the Post reporting in Watergate, or at least I showed that they carefully showed only one side of the story. It should have been a three-ring circus. It was a one-ring circus. And I conclusively proved that they were deceitful throughout the entire Watergate reporting. And the problem is if that thesis gets out there, that really kind of punctures the whole.
Punctures the whole.
In your dreams.
Yeah, that's what it is.
So,
yeah.
I wonder, three-ring
circus. Well, we only got 8 more minutes now anyway, so.
This is true.
That's too bad. But what do you guys think about that whole deal?
I may have to read this book just to figure out, because it sounds like he says that it was, I don't know. I wonder how many other rings there could be. I thought it was pretty clear that they broke into the White House or the Watergate and who did it.
Well, they're saying that the Washington Post betrayed Deep Throat.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to figure out what that means. I will have to read this book.
Sounds like maybe Watergate was even bigger than we expected, but
they
covered it up.
I mean, Nixon's another one of my favorites, so, you know, anything we can do to rehab Richard, that'd be fine.
Well, but will this make Nixon look better or worse?
There was a break-in. There was a break-in at Watergate, and it was done by the CRP, but it wasn't authorized by Richard Nixon, the committee to re-elect the.
Yeah, the phone is not working at all.
Hell of a cliffhanger.
This is not a cliffhanger.
We're building suspense.
Yes, we're building suspense. What do you think
Post-gate.
Of that,
Gate.
Postgate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't know. The whole thing
Here
is just...
Got it.
You found it.
I'm going to buy it.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
Should I be as happy as I am that the newspaper business is just about gone under in Minneapolis-St. Paul, that nobody reads the newspaper anymore?
The good newspaper was great. I loved getting a newspaper every day and reading it.
Back in the old days,
You know, and I still read it every day. You know, I do it online. I still read it, and, you know, there's articles I'm like, eh, and I move on. But there's some stuff that's worth reading.
So. Yeah, but your favorite articles in the Star Tribune and the Pioneer Press begin with Tom Sucks.
Yeah, that's my favorite. Those are the two I look for. I look for Tom Sucks and liberals are the best.
Yeah, I actually tell them not to deliver the paper unless those articles are in there.
Well, we couldn't get the delivery anymore because they would just as likely deliver it to your house as ours. Wherever your house is, it would sometimes be closer.
That is very true, yeah.
That was crazy how far away it would sometimes go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no question. I don't know. Like I said, maybe if we keep talking and keep talking and keep talking, maybe we can eventually get around to a point that... Do you think people will ever calm down, or is this just how the world's going to be?
I don't know. That part of it, I don't know.
I don't think so.
I think the pendulum is real. It's right now we're in an extremely far left swing. It'll go to the center, and then it'll go extremely far right, and
Why
so
can't
forth.
We just hover around the middle.
I like hovering.
I saw how pendulums work.
Yeah, it felt for a while like people were starting to calm down a little bit, and then I feel like the Omicron or whatever the hell it's called now, and everything else, COVID spiking back up, like now the craziness has started to ensue.
Yeah, you're right. As soon as the virus peaks, everybody goes nuts again.
Even though the fatality rate of this strain is extremely low.
Extremely low. Not one child has died from it, have they?
I mean,
that's the last I heard.
I think it's double-digit children in terms of COVID, period.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, right, exactly. One thing I will brighten everybody's day, the great news is if the Washington Post was filthy before, at least it's in the hands of a really decent, honest man like Jeff Bezos now.
God.
Jesus. That's the guy you want owning your newspaper.
Right, he hasn't done anything shady recently.
Oh, no. I don't know. Just ask his ex-wife.
I'm sure she's got a slanted view, though. I mean,
I'm not supporting him,
but I got to believe her view's at least got a little taint to it, you know?
Yeah.
Well, maybe, but, you know, Catherine, what do you think?
What? About Bezos?
About Bezos's wife, ex-wife.
I don't know anything about her other than she got, like, half the money.
She's
and
the one
he
with the long neck, right?
She married a guy who looks like him. Neck. There's got to be issues. Yeah.
Oh, great. Catherine just looked up.
I don't know if you guys can hear me.
Nope.
Yeah, we can hear you now. Yep, there you are. John, you keep coming and going, which works for us, man. As long as you keep coming back.
I just bought your book.
I moved 5 feet. Yeah, great. Mackenzie, and I forget her maiden name, but she's actually from near me in Marin County. She's been contributing a lot of her money to very worthy charities. She's been doing really good things with her money, unlike her husband. So I think she's a pretty good trooper, and, you know, I think she should be happy to be rid of that guy.
But the problem I have, John, is my wife is sitting here just to my right, and she just said, why didn't I get $37
billion? Because you don't have $1 billion.
That might have something to do with it.
So, so, hard to get that kind of payday when you don't have it.
That is. That's right. But I was going to say, you guys, I don't think things are going to swing back to the middle ever unless we reform the way we discuss things in public. What you get is when you go to the right, we may go to the right, and then all that means is that there'll be people out there. There'll still be the same fights we're going through today. Mm-hmm. It's just so I hope that there's some mechanism where somebody figures out in the mainstream media that they should tell both sides of the thing, that unless our media is reformed, our public discussion will not be informed. I guess that's my pessimistic view of this whole thing.
Absolutely.
I think about 4 years ago, I posted, I'm not going to be on Facebook anymore until Jeff Bezos solves world hunger. Just as like kind of joke. And I haven't been on it. I think I've checked in like a couple of times since then. I haven't gone back on it.
Probably a good idea.
And he still hasn't done anything for world hunger.
John, are you going to go on a book tour? Are you going to travel around a bit?
Well, probably not, but that's why I like to do shows like yours, because it gives me a chance to talk to people. And, you know, it's so hard anyway in the time of COVID to get someplace anyway. So this is really the way to do it. I just think it's too bad that these guys have deplatformed me from, again, the mainstream media, because I'm happy to discuss with anybody and put my ideas up to the test. They know that I have them. They know that I've proven this thing up one side and down the other. There's no escape from it.
This thing
and,
is Watergate?
Watergate. Oh, okay. There's no escape from the fact that they really did a deceitful job of reporting. Now, I'm not here to carry Richard Nixon's flag. Mm-hmm. I do think to some degree he was a victim, to some degree. Now, he covered up, did a couple of acts of obstruction at the advice of John Dean, but what John Dean never told him was is that John Dean knew what had happened, and he was an author of it, and he was actually having Richard Nixon cover up for John Dean. Richard Nixon never knew who did this, who authorized this ridiculous burglary, or why.
So,
and he always suspected the CIA as well as, in this case, it was the CIA as well as a couple of lieutenants of Nixon, not for the campaign, but for purposes of listening to naughty boys and naughty girls talking to each other. The CIA had its own purposes in doing that. And I'm not kidding about that. It's just very clear. And I talk about it in my book. And that there's just not a doubt about it. But that was covered up by the Post. That's what was going on. And Dean wanted that for his own purposes and to build up his own. He tells you that in Blind Ambition. You just don't understand the context of his blind ambition. Huh. So it's a combination of the CIA inveigling a couple young lieutenants into a foolish venture. The CIA did it for their own purposes so it could legitimize its otherwise illegal American operations. The CIA could not do an operation in America.
So would that make Liddy's book all untrue?
No, not to the contrary. I analyzed that in the book. Liddy never could figure out what had happened. He finally changed what he thought in 1998 or something like that, 96, and got sued. And then he went to trial. So I covered that in my book.
Okay.
Liddy changed his view as to what had happened.
So did he
change? Did not know. He was
sorry.
Yeah.
So did he change his view before his book or after? Because I read his book, I read Colson's book, I read Dean's book, I read All the President's Men. I actually had a Watergate class my J term when I was in college. So I've read a bunch of those books. So those would put those books in probably the early 80s to somewhere in there. So Liddy changed his views after his book?
Yes. And I go through it. Then he went on the radio. He went on the radio with his new theory and got sued for it. And then guess what? Two juries said, no, Liddy's theory sounds right.
Who
and he won two libel crises. Well, first, John Dean and Maureen sued him. And then I'm trying to think. Then Spencer Oliver Jr. And Maxie Wells, they were the people who had the phone. Everybody was not, they were not listening to a DNC phone, certainly not Larry O'Brien's. They're listening to Spencer Oliver Jr.'s phone, who was often absent. And what happened was, if you're from out of town in a bigwig, you came in, and if you wanted a good time for the night, you went into Spencer's office, called the number, hung up, waited for it to call back, and there would be a girl on the line. You would be given a picture, and you would make your arrangements for the night. That's what was happening, and that's what the CIA liked, because it was part of the CIA nationwide operation in which they were like to listen to Johns and their girlfriends. But this would legitimize everything if the White House, if they could show later that the White House approved this. And so that's all they wanted, was proof. John Dean ordered the second burglary, and I get into it, and it's really too complicated to explain, but he ordered the second burglary because he thought that the Democrats might be on to something here. And so Liddy says it in his book that the second burglary was to try to find out what dirt the Democrats had on the Republicans.
Huh.
But what he did not realize, it was what dirt, and he says this later on, it was to find out what dirt they had on John Dean. That's the second one. Now, that's when he got sued, okay? And so I go through it in my book. It's fascinating. But we have been led down the wrong path. Just to give you an idea that I'm not making this up, the Ellsberg psychiatrist burglary, do you all know about that?
Yeah, New York Times.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. That is absolutely provable to be a CIA operation in which they suckered some stupid plumbers into going along with it. But what they did was they actually copied the Ellsberg psychiatric notes, lied to Liddy that they didn't get anything. Liddy, the CIA, kept those. Ellsberg psychiatrist said, yeah, they got the records. Somebody was fingering through them. They told Liddy that they couldn't find the records. Yet that night, they all drank champagne, all these CIA guys. And Liddy said, well, gee, why are you drinking champagne? I don't get it. Well, they had successfully gotten Ellsberg's records, which they wanted for CIA purposes. Ellsberg had a lot of knowledge, they thought, about certain CIA operations. And they wanted those. And they were the ones who suggested this. If you know anything about it, it's the CIA that came over and said, boy, we can really do harm to Ellsberg if we can just get his psychiatric records. We can't do a psychological profile of Ellsberg without him. So finally, the idiots in the White House went, oh, gee, okay. We'll go get him. Okay. Thank you, CIA, for doing this. We'll go get him. And so you guys can really do a devastating portrait of Ellsberg and help President out politically. Well, it was a dumb thing to do. They went along with the CIA, but it's very clear. Philip D. Diego, a Cuban burglar, not on the Watergate deal, but he was on this one.
On the Ellsberg.
He said, oh, no, we got the records and we copied them. Okay, that's not what they told Liddy. Look at Liddy's book. It was a failure, according
right.
to Liddy.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the template for Watergate. They do the same thing in Watergate, where basically the reports, McCord refuses to record the conversations they're overhearing, and then he types up his own things that he wants to send to Magruder and the White House, to the underlings. But he's withholding the fruits. They are curating the fruits for the CIA's own benefit. Now, meanwhile, the people over in the White House are getting this stuff from the burglaries, the younger guys, the lower guys, and saying, this stuff is all crap. It's trash. Why are we even doing this? Well, of course, McCord is curating everything. So this is the same thing they did with Ellsberg. And there are a couple other examples. I go all through it in my book. And it's fascinating because the Post knew about all this. And the Post knew more than the White House knew. But, of course, the Post is also covering up what, if they really reported the truth, Nixon would say, thank you, Post. You've really helped me figure out what happened.
Hmm.
But they didn't. They were there to screw Nixon, so they got him.
The CIA was trying to screw Nixon?
No, they were trying to screw Nixon.
Oh, Washington Post
the thing
was
started.
Okay.
No, once the
I was just trying to figure out who the they was.
CIA wasn't gonna, yeah, the CIA was not going to jump in and said, hey, we did it. They decided the better part of prudence would be to say we had nothing to do with it. Okay, so they did that, but they weren't out to screw Nixon. They were just out to legitimize an otherwise illegal domestic operation. Sure. The CA charter says you can't do domestic operations, but they knew under the Constitution you can do anything you want if the president says so. So if the president's agents, whether it be John Ehrlichman in the Ellsberg thing or John Dean in the Watergate thing, then you can say, well, this is legitimate. So, it's been authorized by the president through his agents.
So are the tapes that Martha Mitchell lost, are those real?
Yeah, no, Martha Mitchell is just a crazy woman. I mean, she knows nothing about nothing. Okay.
My wife loved that comment.
Yeah, and I remember interviews of her that would fit. But so those tapes with the gaps didn't exist really, or?
No, the tapes existed, and they Nixon actually did probably erase them, because what happened was in the follow up to the burglary, I think Haldeman and Nixon had a frank talk about what they needed to cover up because they did have some skeletons. I mean, one of the things that Nixon did know about by that point was he did know about the Ellsberg burglary, and he knew about a bunch of other stuff. He knew about the Segretti dirty trick stuff. Nixon is not a clean gene in this. He just didn't have anything to do with the burglary. That's all. That's all I'm saying. I mean, I'm not saying Nixon is a white knight with unsullied hands. He's a guy that always had that dark skullduggery about him. But his point was after the burglary, listen, I don't mind people saying I'm crooked. I just mind them saying I'm stupid. I'm not stupid. Why would I ever do this burglary?
Yeah.
And that's really right. That's the best argument about it is Nixon wouldn't do anything this stupid.
Yeah,
he was way ahead in the polls, and the DNC had no campaign information.
Yeah, there was
and Larry O'Brien
why.
Wasn't even in town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I bought your book, but I don't want you to, you know, not sell books. But so is Woodward and Bernstein, do they know this? Do they find this out at some point? Where are they in all this?
Well, I get into it in my book, and I have personal interactions with Woodward throughout for 6 years. And you will see that he kept putting my head into the dumpster until I finally had to go research. I've got 3,000 post articles in my garage. I've printed them all out.
Wow.
I've looked at them. I've researched everything. I mean, this is not – listen, I take these things seriously. I'm not doing this to make money, and I'm doing it because I don't like what happened. So believe me, I got the goods on them, and they know it. And the terrible thing about it is the mainstream press, this gave the mainstream press political power. You now have power to depose a president with your reporting. All you have to do is bias it a little bit. So, my God, now think about that. You have the power to get rid of the popularly elected president, overwhelmingly reelected president in the most powerful country on earth, and you can do it if you just deceive a little bit in your reporting. How about that? That's a pretty powerful bomb to have in your hands. Now, to the extent their reporting was truthful, it was really just a tailgate on the FBI. But the FBI itself came to the conclusion that they couldn't quite figure out what this mess was about. And the Post, of course, really muffled that one. But the Post also knew that Hunt and McCord were both likely CIA agents acting undercover. Hunt's employer, Mullen & Company, is full-time employer, his work for the White House was part-time. His full-time employer was a CIA cover company. They had a contract where they would put agents undercover with some bogus job. And so that was, so the Post knew that. They never publicized that. That's a big deal. Hunt's boss, Robert Bennett, was instrumental in all this.
Yeah.
It's really, but here's the thing about it. If you read my book and you say, my God, this is 50 years later and we don't know any of this. Why don't we? Well, there's a good reason. And when I write the book, they suppress that. So I don't know if you guys follow Seinfeld, but Cosmo Kramer wrote a book about coffee
right.
table.
Yeah, coffee table book. Yeah.
The book that itself was a coffee table book, and it had handles built into the cover, so it could be a coffee table itself.
Yep.
Well, that's my book. My book is about suppression, and then a suppression of a suppression, which itself became a suppression. So I have written a book about coffee tables, books that was a coffee table book and turns into a coffee table. So right now it's being suppressed as we speak. So
we'll see if mine shows up.
It is a coffee table.
John, I'll tell you what, John, you got to come back once in a while. I love talking to you. Seriously.
Make sure to come back on Mondays, though.
Yeah, when Michael Bryant is
here. Get it done, guys.
We'll get it done. Thank you, John O'Connor. We appreciate it, sir.
Thanks, John.
Okay, good talk to you guys. See
you. Nice talking to you. We'll take a break and be right back in a couple minutes. Kostocki will join us right after
this. So we have time?